Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today, right here on Bagels and Blessings, you will hear the story of Rabbi Aaron Alsbrook. How did he come to faith? How did he grow up? Well, stay tuned and you'll find everything out right here on Bagels and Blessings. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. 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 Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu, Od Avinu. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you're in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. Now open on Wednesdays from 3 to 5, Thursdays from 2 to 5, and Saturdays after services up till 1 o'clock p.m. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit the congregational building. And now, when you make a purchase at the Fig Tree Bookstore, you can fill out a raffle ticket. Those names will be drawn for a prize from Bagels and Blessings. So those of you in the Rochester, New York area, be sure to visit Shema Yisrael and the Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop and fill out your ticket for a chance to win a prize from Bagels and Blessings. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. If you have had or have been involved in an abortion decision, you may be experiencing emotional difficulties. You may feel like your life is out of control or struggle with self-destructive behaviors. You can find freedom from these challenges. The ministry Finding Freedom and Forgiveness Post-Abortion can help. Groups are forming now. Please contact us at 585-204-7869, email us at fffpaclass@gmail.com, or visit us on the internet at f3pa.org. God bless you. If this has got your attention or you know someone that could benefit from this, please do contact us. We are hoping to start classes soon. Again, you can email us at FFF, that's three F's like Fox, fffpaclass@gmail.com. And now, here's the King of Kings Assembly with One God.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Hallelujah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. Natalie Isaacs Walker is a sweet friend of mine, and this is a song called Never Be Forgotten. I think about the people who are in Ukraine right now and need our prayers and need our help, and may they never be forgotten.
They took you from your mother's arms when evil had its way. Your only crime was being born into our darkest day. Forgotten, never be forgotten. The Torah blessed a gentleman, and he was not ashamed. Because of this, they took his life. He dared to love God's name. Forgotten, never be forgotten. Forgotten, never be
This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Again, that was Natalie Isaacs Walker. Beautiful song. Remember to pray for the people of Ukraine. And stay tuned for an interview with Rabbi Aaron Alsbrook. For right now, let's hear some music from Joel Chernoff.
The nations will flee.
When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee. When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee.
For you are the giver of law, and you sit enthroned above all. For the Lord is the King of kings. It is He who will save and victory bring.
Oh! When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee. When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee. At the thunder of your voice. Thunder of your voice, the nations will flee. At the thunder, thunder of your voice, thunder of your voice, the nations will flee.
For you are the giver of law, and you sit enthroned above all. For the Lord is the King of kings, it is He who will save and victory bring.
This is Joel Chernoff, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. at our new location, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
This is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. So I have a question for you. How many times have you agreed with someone in prayer? You know, one of the nice things to hear is yes and amen. And there's a song called Yes and Amen. Mark Chopinski, he used to be part of the group Israel's Hope, and this is his song, Yes and Amen.
Yes, amen. Yes, amen. Yes and amen to your kingdom. Yes and amen to your spirit. Yes and amen to Yeshua. Say yes.
And
Again, that was Mark Chopinski. I mentioned that he used to be part of the group Israel's Hope. You know who else was in that group? None other than Paul Wilbur. Here is Roar from Zion, which is from the CD Roar from Zion.
Shalom. This is Paul Wilbur, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
In just a few moments, we'll hear my interview with Rabbi Aaron Alsbrook, a Jewish man who found faith in Yeshua. But right now, let's hear a song all about that from Marty Goetz.
I had a bar mitzvah when I was 13. The greatest bar mitzvah that you've ever seen. The temple on the corner of Mayfield and Lee was filled with my friends and my family. All of them proud as proud could be, with catering far as the eye could see, complete with a chopped liver statue of me. But now they ask me how I could go so wrong, and why all of a sudden I'm singing this song. They say, son, you're deserting your fathers of old, so why don't you just come back to the fold? You're such a nice boy, or weren't you told that when you were born they broke the mold? So what do you need with this stuff you've been sold? But it's a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done, when I believe what they said was true, that Yeshua is God's only son. Well, I've done many things and I don't do a few, but this one thing I do made me a Jew born anew. Yes, through and through I'm a Jew born anew. So hallelujah to Yeshua, from a Jew who never knew Yah could come to die for a show like I was, just so I could win the prize and be with my Messiah in the sky. They say on bar mitzvah day I became a man. I tried to live that way, done the best that I can, but I've been worried since way back when, 'cause I've never done anything great since then. And though I could live till 110 and never have need of a fountain pen, I might never succeed in the sight of men, and they won't let me get bar mitzvah again. But it's a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done, when I believe what they said was true, that Yeshua is God's only son. Well, I've done many things and I don't do a few, but this one thing I do made me a Jew born anew. Yes, through and through I'm a Jew born anew. So hallelujah to you, Yeshua, from this Jew who never knew Yah could come to die for a real Shlomiel, one who couldn't tell you were the long-awaited Holy One of Israel. And all of you who don't know Yeshua, let me introduce him to you. He's the blessed Messiah. He's the Lion of Judah. And he wants to do to you what he did to me. To live in a schlep like I was, yep, it's true, on Christmas morn, the truest Jew
that ever was, was born. So I sing a lie, la lie, lie, la lie, la lie, lie, la lie, la lie, lie, la lie, lie, lie. And that's no lie, la lie, lie, la lie, lie, lie. A Jew born anew, am I? Hey!
There's something about yelling "Hey!" at the end of a song. I know we do it in our worship team at Shemaya Israel all the time. It's exciting and it's fun. Well, you know what else is exciting and fun? My interview with Rabbi Aaron Alsbrook. Enjoy.
Rabbi Aaron Alsbrook, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're welcome. And it's wonderful to discover someone else. You know, just when I thought I knew everybody in the entire Messianic world, you know, how silly of me to think that. But and then I discovered you. So this is wonderful. I wondered if you might share with our listeners a little bit about your early life. For example, did you grow up in a religious Jewish home?
No, I grew up in a Messianic home. Well, Jewish by culture, I suppose, but it wasn't so defined. We didn't know exactly what it is really until a lot later. We would go to my grandparents' house for the holidays, and yet it wasn't until like later on in high school that I realized, you know, being Jewish is something that's of value. It's something that's important. It's something that should be celebrated and observed. And it really started me on a big journey into college. I should dive into this and explore it and go to, I went to Israel and read voraciously and went online and talked with Messianic leaders, and I talked with traditional rabbis. And it's been a long, probably a lot longer time, much more time than I have for this segment, but quite a journey. But it's something that certainly very much Messianic. Love Yeshua with all my heart. Very Jewish. I married a nice Jewish girl, and now have four wonderful Jewish kids who are very Jewish and who see Yeshua as just part of being Jewish.
Wow!
When I think about it, actually, it brings tears to my eyes. So it's really wonderful.
Mm. You know, I really have to stop and talk about growing up in a Messianic home. You have an advantage that so many of us didn't have. And the question I always like to ask is, you grew up in a home where they already knew Yeshua was the Messiah. Was there a point in time when your faith became your own, not just because this is how I'm raised, this is what we do, but when did it become especially personal for you? I know you mentioned college and doing some studies of your own, but when did it become really personal for you?
It started in high school. As I met other believers there, I just tried to think about what does this really mean. It even ended up at times doing debates at school. I remember one specifically where it was the debate was, did God create man or did man create God? And I and a couple of the Korean believers on what the God creating man, and then the other side were two Jewish guys with man created God. And I joined the team of, you know, it was the faith group there in high school. And I would say, so it was pretty solid. in high school. I think it even went deeper. It's just always been a long journey. I remember certainly praying in high school at one point in a retreat that I wanted to follow the Lord. So I think I was 15. And then in college, I started to, as I said, with the whole Jewish journey, is what does this mean? Is Jesus really the Messiah? I remember having at one point Jews for Jesus website next to a Jews for Judaism website, and I would look and I would read and I would say, is this true? And I mean, honestly, I thought all of these arguments for Jews for Jesus, amongst others, those arguments, they convinced me more. And I went to a school where we studied the Bible as well. And I talked with professors and, you know, to really try to, I wanted to weigh it out sincerely. I know what I had been taught, but I had also was constantly pursuing the Lord, both in reading and also in prayer and discussing with other people. And so it was neat, because even in college, where a lot of people like go off the deep end, I was with friends and we'd spend all night in prayer. Back when we had the strength to stay up all night, now I go to bed at 9 o'clock. I would say really beginning in high school and going further into college, I had my moment of prayer, but then also diving deep into these things of what does it mean and does it really make sense to me? Because I couldn't just swallow it, saying, oh, this is what it's true. I had to really know for myself. So really several years of processing.
Well, you were really seeking to know the truth. And, you know, the Bible says, you know, that when you call upon him, he is ready to answer you. He answers you even before you ask. So that's mm-hmm. wonderful. I don't know about you, but I've had frustration trying to share the Lord with people, especially my Jewish relatives, who don't accept the Bible as the inspired word of God. Have you ever had any experience sharing the Lord with someone who didn't even accept the scriptures? I'm just curious.
Yeah, very much. Especially my grandparents were atheists, and so the Bible really wasn't a place where we have discussions. And even my experience of going out into the streets of D.C., talking with people, realizing the pursuit of truth is, I mean, I once had, and it sounds like, you know, you had, it's not the same as it is today. They're more, the God is not necessarily such an integral part of being Jewish. The Bible is not an integral part of being Jewish. You have the holidays, but even the story of the holidays, I find are, you know, people are just, it's just a nice thing we do, and it's just part of being Jewish, and that's it. And the more I've realized that most Jewish people are interested in discussing hot topics such as social justice and different the modern causes, let's say the LGBTQ community, Israel and the Palestinian conflict, the Holocaust, I find, is a big one, issue of morality. These are like the new Bible of the Jewish community. And it's I don't have all the answers. I'm still processing them because it's difficult for me. You know, people say, how have you read the scriptures? And people are like, well, no. And you do want to? Well, maybe. You know, I mean, I there's a man from, based on our efforts of going out in the streets of D.C., is a Jewish man, and we engaged with him, and we followed up with him, and the Bible, we would quote the Bible some to him, but more it was just engaging with him personally, and I just kept talking with him and having lunch with him and seeing how he's doing. And eventually I said, I was sharing with him the love of God and how wonderful the love of God is now in Yeshua, and that you know, I loved our traditions, but I knowing God through Yeshua, that to me is the best thing in the world. I said, and eventually I said to him, does this sound good to you? Do you want this? And he said, yeah. I said, really? Do you want to pray now to receive the Lord? And he said, okay. And that was it. Crazy. It took a long time, you know.
Wow.
And it was amazing. But I realized it just was more of a personal thing, and how much the love of God and knowing God, these are the key things. And now, you know, and discipling him and giving him biblical content. But it's not to say that it's the only way, but I'm seeing this as more and more as the case. You know, even my wife's uncle, talking with him about the love of God and how wonderful God is. And when we accept Yeshua, that, you know, he transforms us. These concepts, you know, of like, you see in, you go to Whole Foods and you see magazines, mindfulness and transformation. And these kind of concepts, like, we really have to hone in on these, not to compromise theologically, but to, this is where people are at. So this is where we need to engage with them.
Amen. And I think you mentioned an important key. You built a relationship with that man that you mentioned. And as we build other relationships with people and they see that we love them and that we care about them, that, and they see that God is shining through us, that might make them more receptive, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's, and the more I look at Yeshua, he clearly dealt with issues of truth, but I see more people are transformed by his love and the power that flowed through him. And there are times when he you know, would say something very black and white, but people followed him and loved him because of his love and power. And we need that. And there are times we would hand out tracts. I know people often have an issue with tracts, but they plant seeds. They get people to think. But we've had the most fruit really with the just engaging people and having people over for Shabbat dinner, having, you know, just going out for coffee with people and talking with people. And, you know, are we quoting Isaiah 53? Are we quoting Psalm 22? Maybe, yeah, to some degree. But more than anything, we're just telling them how awesome life is with Yeshua than as it is without him.
Mm, amen. Well, Rabbi Aaron, I would love to hear about your journey to becoming a Messianic rabbi. Did you know that you would become a rabbi when you were younger, or how did that happen?
Well, perhaps. When I look back, my room was filled with books of theology and then Mel Brooks films.
So amen.
I was set to be a Messianic rabbi because I like to use a lot of comedy in my sermons. But I had a long journey of, I don't know what to do, from sports and then getting into the performing arts. I have 2 degrees in singing. To teaching in New York City. My gosh, I've traveled all over the world. I didn't know what I wanted to do, from loving the Bible, but I wasn't quite sure. Eventually, everything seemed to coalesce in my time when I lived in New York. From teaching, you know, I used to teach special education, and, you know, a lot of the strategies I learned there is really helpful in teaching people the Bible. You think, oh, they have special needs. Like, well, you know what? Most adults have some sort of special needs, some way that they process, some way that works for them. Then you don't just say, this is what it is, and you should just receive it. You have to learn how to speak to people. That's something that strengthened me. With singing and, you know, learning how to be on stage and to engage with people, and I do sing still so much of our liturgy, as well as just, you know, studying the scriptures and my journeys of just traveling. It was the right fit as I actually got to perform my wife's grandfather's funeral several years ago, and I did it. They asked me, I said, you guys know that I believe in Yeshua? And they said, yeah, just don't mention him. I said, okay, I'll be respectful.
He'll be there anyway. He'll be there.
Right. I quoted him, but I didn't tell them whom I was quoting. And I did the funeral. And one of my wife's family members said to me, not religious whatsoever, she said, this is your calling. This is what you should be doing. And I said, wow. And she's the one who even helped me get into teaching. And I thought, you know what? I really like this because I get to do everything I like in one package. I don't have to go traveling all over the place. Like, you know, when I used to perform, I hated the traveling part because I wanted to have a life. I have a family life, I have kids. I don't have to be away on the weekends. You know, it's like I get to teach, but I don't have to deal with all the bureaucracy of the education system. Like, everything seemed to, like, this is great. And my wife and I get to work together. We were often work. I was working in the morning and she was working in the evening. It was rough. And it just seemed to really fit all together. And then we finally found this place in Virginia. We had friends here. I called them and said, hey, I think I want to do this full time. He said, well, this is, we're actually looking for somebody to come in. I said, well, that could be really good. And it being even just a few hours from New York so we could go visit my wife's family, it was really an amazing series of events that God had planned out, kind of like Esther. You know, it's like you can see God working, but it's not so explicit. And it's now that I'm in it, I couldn't imagine doing anything else. But I'm looking back and seeing all the different ways and places I've gone and the past, I thought, oh, this is it, or this is it. And it's not. But then in this environment, in this context, everything makes sense. And I truly do love it.
Praise the Lord. So you're in Virginia?
Yeah, Springfield, about 20 minutes outside of D.C.
Oh, okay. I grew up in Richmond, so that's great.
And I know the rabbi who now runs the shul where you grew up.
Oh, well, I attended that shul when it was an Orthodox synagogue. That's a whole other story.
Yeah, you're right.
Wow, that's great. So what else do you do in your spare time, Rabbi?
I like to exercise and stay fit. Like I have four small kids, so I got to stay in shape so I can keep up with them. I got a lot, you know, I have some wonderful friends. We really have a great community of young families. So spending time with my friends, we like going into D.C. You know, I love New York. There's nothing like Manhattan, but D.C. is pretty cool. It's very nice. I mean, before COVID, all this nonsense, we would go in and, you know, visit museums and explore different sites. Honestly, I just love spending time with my family, going out with my wife. We go visit, like I said, family in New York, and when they go to Florida, we go visit them. I like teaching still and discipling other people in the congregation and engaging with the larger Jewish community. I guess it's, I'm a pretty simple guy. I'm not too complicated. I just, I live on a cul-de-sac. We have the kids outside. We go play basketball outside. It's go for hikes. We live out, you know, there are forests out here. So I love going for walks and going exploring with my kids and go catch frogs. You know, we live in Virginia.
That's great. Hey, I'm just curious. I'm just a romantic at heart. So I have to know, is there a story behind how you met your wife?
There sure is. I was studying singing with a private teacher in Pennsylvania, and I was going to go visit New York and visit some friends of mine from Israel. And when I told another friend of mine that I was going to do this, he said, you know, I just met a girl. She's from New York. Would you like to meet her? I said, is she Jewish? And he said, yes, she is. I said, well, let's do it. And so I went to Brooklyn College to see my friends perform in an opera. And after the opera, I went, now my wife, I didn't have a car. I took a bus to New York. She comes and picks me up, and we went out on a first date. And we had a lovely dinner. And after dinner, we were walking, and then there came a moment where we looked at each other, and we both just knew. I know it sounds kind of Disney-ish, but we just knew.
I believe it.
And we didn't. It's not like we got married the next week, but we knew.
No, the week after.
But I knew. Like, I went back to Pennsylvania. A month later, I called her. I said, I'm moving to New York. And she said, excuse me? I said, I want you. I want to pursue you. I love singing is great, but I want a family more than I want a career. And I love talking with you and being with you. And I said, I'm moving out there. And she goes, okay.
You didn't scare her away, did you?
I didn't scare her away. It was a little intimidating, especially because, you know, she's going to have to tell her family. They don't know me. I don't really have a job. I was studying to be a singer, which, by the way, doesn't pay great. You know, not for a long time. That's only if you make it, too. So she's like, well, if you're going to come out here, you're going to get a real job. I said, okay. So I pursued teaching, which I enjoyed. And that was that. But yeah, I was set up. Somebody set me up, and it was wonderful. Now we're almost about to celebrate 10 years and four kids later. We
Mazel
have a house.
Tov.
I mean, everything that we really wanted, we have now, and it's truly great.
Well, I believe in God's perfect timing for everyone, so that's marvelous. Mm-hmm. So listen, in the time that we have left, I'm wondering if there's anything that you'd like us to be praying for you, your ministry, your congregation, your family, anything at all.
Well, that's really sweet. I mean, just really time management. It's, when I used to teach, your day is scheduled for you to the T. When you're a rabbi, you have a family, and want to do matchmaking as well, it's everything is, you have to manage everything. and the wisdom and the grace in which to do it would be the best thing for me.
Amen, amen, in Yeshua's name. Now, you just mentioned something. I wasn't going to bring it up, but you just said matchmaking, so you just opened the door, so let's open that door and let's talk a little bit more before we conclude. What did you mean by that?
Well, one of the passions I have is this, to match up Messianic Jews with other Messianic Jews.
Yes!
I'm strong about this because, like I mentioned, I was done for me, and I'm something that's very powerful. I wanted to have a Messianic Jewish kids, and I've traveled around. Could say, Do you know anybody? I'm looking for somebody. Do you know anybody? I said, I don't know. Maybe I do, but then I figured I need to create a bridge.
Yes.
Between congregations, a bridge between networks, a bridge between countries, and so as this last year in 2021 started the Messianic Matchmaker. Online, I got the support of all the big American networks, and it's very simple. It's just the traditional matchmaking, except it's for Jewish people who love Yeshua. And we get to know you, we pray with you, we pray about you, and as we meet people, we make, you know, here's a proposal. Would you like to meet this person? And we already have clients in different countries, clients in different networks. Even some Jewish people, they attend a church, but if they're Jewish and they want to marry somebody Jewish, they have a Jewish home who loves Yeshua and he's part of just their Jewishness, then we are the place to be. We connect people through people. The thing that I always love is not an algorithm, and it's very personal. My wife does the interviewing, and she's great. She really reads people well and talks with people. We talk about this, you know, just even this spiritual life in Yeshua and help guiding people. Because, you know, people, they want to meet somebody, but there's a little bit of, sometimes people need a little bit of help in finding the right person.
So absolutely.
A personal touch.
Now, how do they find you? How do they find this website?
www.themessianicmatchmaker.com.
Wonderful. Well, I'll be talking to you offline about that. I want to help. I'm a Yenta.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So listen, this is we're at the end of our time together, but this has been really a lot of fun. I pray it's been a blessing to you. I really hope and pray that God blesses you and meets all of your needs beyond your expectations. I pray for good health for your family and for salvation for all your relatives that don't yet know Yeshua. And I hope we can do this again sometime.
Amen. I'd like to.
Amen. Well, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure.
All right. Shalom for now.
Shalom, shalom.
Again, that was my interview with Rabbi Aaron Alsbrook. And I encourage you, if you are single and looking for that perfect mate, visit themessianicmatchmaker.com. Themessianicmatchmaker.com. All right, well, we have time for another quick song. This is Ted Pierce.
Yom Zeh L'Yisrael. Yom Zeh L'Yisrael. Yom Zeh L'Yisrael. Ora v'simcha. Yom Zeh L'Yisrael. Ora v'simcha. Oh, besimcha, Shabbat menucha, Yom Zeh Yisrael. Oh, besimcha, Shabbat menucha, Shabbat menucha. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh L'Yisrael, Ora V'Simcha. Yom Zeh L'Yisrael, Ora V'Simcha. Ora V'Simcha, Shabbat Menucha. Yom Zeh L'Yisrael, Ora V'Simcha. Shabbat Menucha, Shabbat Menucha. Thank you.
ze l'Yisrael, Yom ze l'Yisrael, Yom ze l'Yisrael, Ora besimcha, Yom ze l'Yisrael, Ora besimcha, Ora besimcha, Shabbat menucha, Yom ze l'Yisrael, Ora besimcha, Shabbat menucha, Shabbat menucha.
And now here's Phil Klein with the ironic benediction.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yismorecha Yair Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.